Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning. You're listening to CFRA Radio, and the show is Good News in the Morning. It's put on by Good News Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. And I don't expect you to remember that postal thing. You know, nowadays we have the internet. Just Google Good News Christian Ministries. You'll find all sorts of great resources on there. So here, my name is George Sinclair. I'm the pastor at Church of the Messiah in Ottawa. And it's my great privilege and honor this morning to be able to tell you about Jesus, learn about Jesus with you as we open the Bible. But just before we do that, and by the way, if you're not driving, if you're at home or something, it'd be great if you could get your Bible. And we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 18. So get your Bible, get it open. But while you're doing that, here's a couple of things. First of all, this show is completely and utterly supported by prayer, and also by money. And so please pray for us. And if God's blessed you with some financial resources, please let us make a donation. I don't get any money for this, by the way. I do it just to try to honor Jesus. Just want to give a shout out to Paul Carpenter, who made a donation that made this show possible today. One other thing before we get into the show. On Saturday, May the 2nd, from noon till 1:30, there's a chance for you to have a free lunch and meet the speakers, people like myself, and ask us questions. And that'll be at Bethany Baptist Church. But before we get into all of that, we're going to listen to a great local singer, Joey McNitt, sing Confession.
Confession is what we need when we're lost with no way to see. The Spirit will prompt us to humble ourselves and be free. Well, now is the dark of night, but morning will come with the dawn. So don't be afraid and don't turn away. We could be and make your doubts known. Free, bring all your sin to Him and be free. Conviction is always a trust, the fullness of loving embrace. The Spirit invites us to enter His life and be free. So often we shift the blame when our lives are tortured with shame. So don't be afraid and don't turn away. We could be free, free. And come to the throne and make your doubts known. Your sin to Him and be free. The end of this song is nigh. To leave in chains is a choice. If the Spirit is prompting, then humble yourself to be free. For Christ is the source of life, destroyer of sin is His name. So don't be afraid and don't turn away. We could be, yeah, free, free. Come to the throne and make your doubts known. Confession is what we need when we're lost with nowhere to see.
Good morning again. You're still listening to CFRA Radio, and the show is Good News in the Morning, put on by Good News Christian Ministries. Just Google Good News Christian Ministries to find out more about us. My name's George Sinclair, pastor at Church of the Messiah in Ottawa. And, listen, one of the things that there's lots of things that people say about the Christian faith and about prayer and stuff. And on one hand, people often say that Christians, on one hand, sound a little bit like, when they talk about prayer, they almost talk as if they're sort of better at prayer than other people. But from the outside, a lot of the way that Christians talk about prayer sounds as if it's either just really like self-talk or groveling. And, you know, a lot of people think, you know, why do I want to just grovel? That doesn't make me like, why grovel, right? And why think you're better? And, if you're going to do self-talk, why bring God into it? But let's listen to Jesus today as we're going to see a couple of incidents about Jesus, and has a lot to say about talking to God. And I think we'll see that Jesus is very wise. So get your Bibles, Luke chapter 18, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. Here's how it goes. And Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Now, just before we get into the parable, Jesus himself, in a sense, interprets the parable right at the beginning before he tells it, right? So here's what he says, verse 2. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to the judge and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while the judge refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? So just sort of pause there for a second. Now, first of all, you might find it a little bit surprising that Jesus compares God to an unjust judge. And that'll be a topic maybe for some other talk if God gives me the opportunity. The main thing to get here is that it shows that Jesus is not insecure and that God is not insecure. If you have a high view of the Bible and believe that ultimately what we're reading, I'm not asking you to believe this, but I mean, hopefully you will. But, for a Christian who's a follower of Jesus and wants to have Jesus's view of the Bible, then what we believe is that this is actually God speaking to us. And so it's actually very, very interesting that God's not at all adverse to comparing himself to an unjust judge. And that's because God's not insecure. So whatever we think about things like groveling and all of that type of stuff, it's not because we're dealing with an insecure God, okay? But here's the thing. I'm going to try to explain a little bit, but here's the first takeaway point for you. As I walk with Jesus and others on the Jesus way, he wants me to talk to him again and again and again and again and again and never lose heart. That's what Jesus is telling us. As I walk, and I always put these points in terms of I, so if you're writing them down, then it's you're making it personal, okay? So as I walk with Jesus and others on the Jesus way, he wants me to talk to him again and again and again and never lose heart. And And that's what Jesus here is teaching us. He's teaching us that ultimately we are to talk to Jesus, we're to talk to God, that at the heart of it, prayer is a conversation, and more than conversation, it's a type of communion that's involved with conversation, because conversation is the way that human beings grow close to each other, or at least potentially. You know, my wife often tells me she wants me to talk to her more and talk to her from my heart more. And so that's the power of conversation. In fact, if you think about it, many people will sort of say that, you know, that meditation or yoga is better than prayer. But if you think about it for a second, if I was to come home, I've been married to my wife for 33 years, thanks be to God. And if I was to come home to my wife today and say, you know, Louise, I think I've talked enough to you. I think it would be better if from now on, when I come home, I'm just going to meditate about you. I'm just going to think about you wordlessly and silently. Well, my wife would not think that was an improvement. She'd want me to talk to her. And, you know, if it's that way with a human being, then shouldn't it even be more that way with God? Not less, but more that way. And that's what Jesus is teaching us. He's very wise. And some of you might say, well, why do you want to talk to God over and over and over again, George? Haven't you heard what Einstein said, that is that one definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results? You know, and that would be the case if prayer was something mechanical, if it was like magic, if it was like casting a spell, if it was like technology or something. I mean, if I go to the bank machine and I type in my PIN number and it doesn't work, and I just keep typing my PIN number in over and over and over and over and over again, then I would meet Einstein's definition of insanity. But prayer is not like that. You know, my wife doesn't get tired of me telling her that I love her. You know, my wife doesn't, well, you know, she wants me to talk to her. And that's what, you know, that's why Jesus tells us to be persistent in prayer, to keep on praying. That's why I say that as I walk, what Jesus is teaching us, first of all, here is that as I walk with Jesus and others on the Jesus way, he wants me to talk to him again and again and again and never lose heart. Now, some of you might say, okay, George, I sort of get that, but, you know, here's the other thing. I often sort of just, you know, when I talk to these born-again types and all, I sort of get this type of sense of smugness about them, you know, that they talk to God, but, you know, we just are all, you know, the fact of the matter is that a lot of us talk to God, you know, George, and not just Christians and all, And Christians just seem to be very sort of self-satisfied and superior about that. Like, what do you think about that? Well, I'm not going to deny that we Christians can really, really struggle with being self-satisfied and smug. But when we're doing that, we're not actually following what Jesus tells us to do. So that's the very next story. If you continue on, it's verse 8, right? We were up to verse 7. Now we're up to, verse 9, chapter 18, verse 9. And Jesus tells another parable. In fact, he says he also told this parable, verse 9, to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. So just sort of note here, a sort of like a free little lesson in how to interpret the Bible. In this case, Jesus doesn't give you the interpretation of the parable in advance, but he sort of does, because he makes it very clear who the parable is addressed to. And the main thing here for you and me as the reader is not to think, oh boy, I'm so glad that George told me about this parable, because I know 10 people who really need to hear it. If that's the way you take it, then that's not the way to read the Bible. The way to read the Bible is now to say, in a sense, not to George, but to Jesus, Lord, is this me? How is this me? That's the way to read the Bible, right? Are you talking about me, Lord? And you know what, Lord, I don't know if you're talking about me, and so please, Lord, make it clear that you're talking about me. Anyway, here's a go. Verse 9 again. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Here's the parable. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And just so you know, in those cultures, Pharisees would have been, if you're a very devout religious type, then Pharisee would be a very religious person. If you're spiritual, not religious, then the Pharisee would be of the pinnacle of being spiritual, not religious. We have these two different categories. Back in those days, they would have been the same category. So two men went up into the temple to pray, and tax collectors were like one of the worst groups in society. They were considered to be traitors to the Jewish people, aides of the occupying pagan army. And so here's, once again, the parable. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Now here's Jesus' comment on it. "I tell you, this man," that's the tax collector, "went down to his house justified," and that's in a sense the word for salvation, "rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." Very, very powerful passage of Scripture. And there's lots of lessons. We're going to try to tease out a couple of them in the time we have left. But here's the first thing you might want to jot down. "As I walk with Jesus and others on the Jesus way, he warns me against all talking to him which flows from self-trust, self-righteousness, self-congratulation, and contempt of others." That's what Jesus is doing. Remember, in the first part, he says, you know, on the Jesus way, when you're walking along the Jesus way with me and with my people, I want you to talk to me again and again and again and again and again and never lose heart. You know, God is always more willing to listen to us than we are to speak to him. But now he's saying, listen, as I walk with Jesus and others on the Jesus way, he warns me, he warns you, against all talking to him which flows from self-trust, self-righteousness, self-congratulation, and contempt of others. You see, it's not here that Jesus is saying, "I like the Pharisee because he grovels." It has nothing to do with groveling. It has to do with self-perception. It has to do with the first fellow basically being very satisfied with himself, very trusting in himself, very congratulatory of himself, and which almost always goes around with people who trust themselves a lot and are sort of see themselves as good people and as congratulating themselves on all that, is it almost always goes along with looking down our nose at others. In fact, this is a human problem. You know, use a thing from a couple of years ago in politics. Is the people in the annex and the Toronto Star, did they look down their nose at Ford Nation? Well, they did, you know. Do, you know, true blue conservatives look down their nose at people who aren't conservative? Yes, they do. I mean, it's a human problem. And the big consistent question, I'm getting tongue-tied, the big consistent question is always is whatever it is, does your philosophy, theology, spirituality, does it have within it the resources to constantly make you aware of your habit to be self-congratulatory, self-righteous, self-centered, self-trusting, and looking down your nose on others? And does it confront you that that's wrong? You see, and this is what the Jesus does. He tells his followers, it's very, very upfront to deal with this common human problem. He wants us to be honest. And you know what? The fact of the matter is, God is just, if the living God really does exist, and I do, I believe he does, you know, if you just think about it, you go for a flight, you know, across the continent or across the ocean to Europe or to Africa or to Australia, and you just realize how big the planet is. And the Christians understand, the Bible teaches that God created all of this. God is just greater. He's just bigger. He's just greater. And so it is that we just have to come to him with that type of basic type of honesty, not groveling. Now, some of you might say, "Okay, George, that sounds very, very interesting." But you know, here's the other thing I don't like about Christians. You know, they keep going on and on and on and on and on and on about how you have to be like a child and all that stuff. But you know, George, I have children, and you know, children can be unbelievably self-centered. They can be unbelievably terrible at comparing themselves to others. You know, you divide a cookie in half for two children, and one of the children says, "He got more than me," or "She got more than I did." You know, so why is it? Aren't Christians sort of contradictory? And I think Jesus goes back. Isn't it all go back to Jesus? Isn't Jesus contradictory? Well, that's where we look at sort of the final passage of Scripture that we're going to look at today. It's verses 15 and 17. Sort of interesting, right? He goes from that story about the unjust judge, and then he goes to the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector, and then he goes to a story about children. So here's how it goes. Verse 15. "Now they were bringing even infants." That would be the crowd. the crowd were bringing even infants to Jesus that he might touch them. In other words, that he might bless them. Okay? And when the disciples saw this, they rebuked the crowd. They rebuked the parents. But Jesus called the parents and the children to him, saying, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." That's a very, very powerful, simple phrase. But now, now just if that was the only thing at all that that Jesus ever said about these topics, then we'd be a little bit stuck, okay? If that was the only passage he ever had about the kingdom of God, if there wasn't this story of the unjust judge, if there wasn't the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector, if that was the only one, then we'd be sort of in trouble. And it's very, very much the case. People who criticize Christians about talking about being like a child, they have a lot. I was at a graduate school a couple of years ago, and I was there for like a refresher continuing ed, and I went to one of the sessions after lunch, and as I was coming in, they were giving out crayons and paper to people to go in. This is a graduate level place, right? And I said, "What's this for?" And they said, "Well, she's going to be talking about like being childlike, and it's really important you have crayons." And I said, "Thank you very much." And I left. I have a simple rule of thumb. If I go to a graduate seminar, and it has crayons, I don't attend. That would be one of my rules of thumb. Maybe I've just insulted you. You'd say, "Oh, goody, I get to play with crayons." For me, no way. Here's the thing that Jesus is saying. As I walk with Jesus and others on the Jesus way, he wants me to receive his way like a child. It's very simple. As I walk with Jesus and others on the Jesus way, he wants me to receive his way like a child. But here's the thing, okay? What is it that primarily he's talking about? He's obviously not just talking about being completely like a child. He's trying to pick a particular aspect of being like a child. And it's interesting that he says, receive the kingdom of God like a child. So, here's the thing. I'm a child of immigrants, but when I was born and I'm raised in my parents' house, I don't question a whole lot about what Canada's like. The Canada is just Canada. I don't say, "Well, why do we drive on the right-hand side of the road?" I don't say, "Why are stop signs red and white?" I don't say, "Why are the traffics in?" I don't say, "Why are we speaking English rather than Swahili?" Like, I don't know any of those things. I just accept it that as I'm born into the Canada and I grow into Canada, I mean, questioning things in Canada comes a lot later, but the whole entrance, the whole beginning. In fact, you can't even really question things about Canada unless you've been sort of born, you really get immersed in it. And that's what Jesus is saying, is that at the heart of being a child is you just accept how the country is. And that's what Jesus wants us to do with the kingdom of God. He wants us to accept that there's going to be a way of speaking, a way of talking, a way of understanding, a way of addressing. He wants us to accept that and grow in it. Just the way kids get excited when they can start to figure out things. They can figure out letters and stuff like that. And they get excited because they can figure out English. They can figure out, in a sense, Canadian English. And that's what he wants to do with us. And now, just one final thing. We only have a couple of minutes left, but one final thing. If you haven't figured this out by now, I'm one of those people called evangelical Christians, and I often end with making something called an invitation for you to give your life to Jesus. And that's often widely mocked in the culture. But you know why I do it? You know why I do it? You know why I believe that there's things like a sinner's prayer? It's because Jesus teaches it. That's why. Look, go back to this story a few verses ago. Remember the Pharisee and the tax collector. And look at verses 13 and 14. And what is it says? Jesus interpreting the parable. Remember the parable? The tax collector says, "Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner." And so here's verse 13, 14. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He says a prayer, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And what is Jesus' response? "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified." That is why I invite you to say, I realize I have a problem with self-justification, with self-righteousness, with contempt of others. I believe that Jesus is the one who can reconcile me to God. I believe that Jesus tells us all of these things when he's on his way to the cross to die. That's all. This whole story is one thing that Jesus tells people on his way to the cross to die. And there comes a time in our lives where we don't maybe understand all this theology stuff, but we just have this sense that Jesus is the one that we can trust. He's wise, that he'll reconcile us to God. And the way we enter the Jesus way is by saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And we say that to him from our heart. Here's how you could write it down as a point. Jesus wants me to enter his way and walk his way, praying from my heart, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And you know, that's a simple thing, is the way you begin the Jesus way, the way you walk on the Jesus way is by praying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And I just want to encourage you, you know, you will never meet anyone wiser or kinder than Jesus. Jesus knew exactly what you were like. He didn't come to earth thinking that everybody was perfect. He came specifically to die. And Jesus is that power of God from salvation by which we can be saved, and we receive it by faith. But what that means is that we just realize that there's nothing ultimately we can do. We have to receive that power of God that comes from him, and all we can do is receive it. And once we receive it, we're receiving Jesus as the power of God from salvation, for salvation. And then that salvation not only makes us God's child, but it's that same receiving of what Jesus has done for us that allows us to walk the Jesus walk, to walk with him as our Savior and as our Lord, as he starts to transform us and change us, to fit him into this kingdom that he wants us to enter into. And that's why I say Jesus wants me to enter his way. He wants me to walk his way. And how do we do it? By praying from our hearts, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Let's just pray. Father, thank you for the people who are listening. Thank you for Jesus, most of all. Thank you that he died upon the cross. Thank you that he is that power of God for salvation for all who receive it by faith. Father, if any have prayed that prayer, may you pour out your Holy Spirit upon them. Seal them as your own. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, I just want to tell you, if you've said that prayer, the best thing you can do to make it whole is to tell somebody that you've prayed it. The second thing is find a Bible. The third thing is find a church. Find a good church that can start to help you. You can meet other people and can help you walk the Jesus way. This is the show is Good News in the Morning, put on by Good News Christian Ministries. Email us if we've been helpful to you in any way. And we're going to go our way listening to George Beverly Shea sing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love.
Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love.
This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my
News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 5.